Blog Talk Radio.
The following broadcast is brought to you by the iGolf Sports Network.
Golf Talk Live is sponsored by the iGolf Sports Network and Golf Tips Magazine. Here's Andrew to tell you more about our sponsors.
iGolf Sports is a live stream broadcast and media production company providing quality programming designed to attract the golfing enthusiast. And Golf Tips, the game's most in-depth instruction magazine, including reviews on the latest equipment, tips from top teaching professionals, all designed to help you improve from tee to green. Welcome to Golf Talk Live with your host, Ted Odorico. Join Ted each week as he speaks with some of the best in golf. This week's special guest will join us a bit later. But first up is another great discussion on Coach's Corner. So let's introduce tonight's Coach's Corner panel.
All right. Good evening, everybody. And once again, welcome to Golf Talk Live. Happy that you're joining me this evening. We're going to have another exciting episode here on Season 12 of Golf Talk Live. And we try to do our best to bring you some of the best insights from the industry's top experts. And I couldn't think of a couple of better ones to have than this week's Coach's Corner panel featuring my good friend John Hughes and another good friend, Jim Endicott. I'll tell you a little bit about them in just a moment. And then, of course, tonight is our special travel segment coming back again this week. And that's going to be co-hosted with my good friend, travel expert, Robert Kaufman. And our special guest tonight there is Brian Alley. He is the director of golf and recreation at Primland Resort in Virginia. And then a little bit later on, I'm thrilled to have with me tonight is Clay Simpson, the logistics and operations manager at Skyhawk Technologies, of course, the parent company of Sky Golf, as tonight's featured special guest. So I'll be excited to have him on the show a little bit later on. But first, as I mentioned, let's introduce tonight's Coach's Corner panel. John Hughes is a PGA Master Professional and the honorary president of the North Florida's PGA section. He was the recipient in 2013 of PGA of America's Professional Development Award. He's a senior contributor and Golf Tips 25, top 25 instructor, and is also part of Golf Tips advisory staff. He was awarded in 2023 the North Florida PGA Teacher and Coach of the Year, and always excited to have him on the show. Also joining on the program tonight in Coach's Corner is Jim Endicott. He's been teaching this great game of golf for over 38 years. He's a former Golf Digest Schools general manager and a seven-time PGA Award winner, including the 2022 North Florida PGA Section Patriot Award and recipient of two North Florida PGA Youth Development Awards. Currently, he is the Director of Instruction at the Royal St. Cloud Golf Links in Florida, and he, too, is a Golf Tips Top 25 instructor and contributor to the magazine. So, John and Jim, welcome to Coach's Corner tonight on Golf Talk Live.
Ted.
Thank you, Ted. It's great to be here.
Appreciate it. As always, you guys giving of your time. And I was mentioning just off air that we're going to talk about something a little bit interesting. I'm just going to set this up real quick. I've, over the last many years, have been working on a number of golf books. And tonight we're going to pull a little bit from chapter three of one of the first books that's going to be released here shortly. And it's called The Complete Guide to Golf Strategies and Fundamentals. And this is a book that I've worked on for a long time. There's three others that are going to be following suit, and I'll slowly roll those out in the weeks to come, but really excited about it. They're not officially out live yet, as it were, but they will be available shortly, and I'll keep you posted on that. But I thought it would make for an interesting discussion tonight. So we're going to talk about mastering sort of the fundamentals of the golf swing, and we're going to start off, and John, if you don't mind, I'm going to start with you and sort of talk about initially the components of a golf swing. So obviously the golf swing is a complex motion and it requires coordination, balance, and precision. And there's really some several key components such as the setup and takeaway, backswing, and of course transition, downswing, impact, and follow through. So there's a lot of components to it. Maybe you could touch on a little bit about how all that comes together and why each component is important for its own reason.
Ted, once again, for having me on the show. It's always a special event for me. Jim, great to hear your voice. Miss you here in Florida. there are several components, as you said, and within my teaching practice, I tend to start people out with understanding that the two most important is how you set up and what you're doing and impact, what those impact positions and conditions are. The other components are either influenced by setup, impact certainly is, or deliver the club through impact and beyond is the way I try to sum it up and make it simple for people. Most people out there, in my opinion, don't practice enough to really get overly concerned about all these backswing positions. There's priorities of life that prohibit you from doing that, and that's okay. But when it comes to the essentials, if you're set up correctly, your machine, your body, has the ability to produce something that's called a golf swing. And when your brain turns it on and you're set up in a manner that's going to hit it to the right and wonder why you hit it to the right, it's your setup. And that setup sets up what the club face is going to do at impact. And that's what all these positions are summated into one real big mission, and that is where is the club face at impact. But we've also seen a lot of research in the previous 10 to 20 years about deep playing and what you're doing follow through. And the real key to that for the average amateur golfer is, are you hitting at the ball or are you hitting through the ball? And if you're hitting through the ball, some of the characteristics of the positions prior to hitting the ball, they're going to be similar, some almost mirror image as you follow through. But the real key to remember is just some simple Newtonian physics that it takes more energy to slow something down than it does to create it. So if you're stopping just past your impact position, you're actually creating that stopping action prior to hitting the golf ball. So how that all sums up, let's get you set up correctly. The takeaway, that initial 3 feet, if I'm going to work with anybody at an average amateur level, that's probably what we're going to focus on in a backswing situation, getting to the top, to transitioning, being solid enough to where your body starts the downswing. Downswing, trying to conserve and save as much energy as you can to release that impact, and then allowing that club to follow through towards the target, allowing those arms to extend, requires that continued rotation where you can get to a balanced finish. There's tons of things we can talk about with this, Ted, but in trying to sum it up, everybody's built a little bit different. Everybody thinks a little bit different. Because you're built and thinking different, your setup's going to be a little bit different from everybody else, but that doesn't mean you cannot achieve an impact position similar to the people that you watch on TV. It's a matter of diligence and putting some hard work to it.
Well said. You're exactly right. There's, we're all built differently. Everybody's going to be a little bit different, but obviously there's certain commonalities that we're all going to experience when we, put these pieces and these components together. So, but well said. John touched a little bit on this, but I want you to maybe get in a little bit more if you wouldn't mind. That's the physics of the golf swing. And, you know, we're talking about things like torque, centrifugal force, you know, we hear about, and obviously the transfer of energy. Can you maybe just, you know, again, I know it's a pretty in-depth topic. We really want to just sort of, I don't want to say gloss over, but just maybe touch on each of these components, what we're really talking about here and what it means in relation to the golf swing.
Well, Ted, I think what you're alluding to there is what is delivering that impact, as John talked about, and what's delivering it with some speed. And as we look at it, to elaborate on what John said, is, you know, we stand to the side of the golf ball. Because of that, we have to have body rotation in the golf swing. And we stand in a manner where the ball's on the ground or on a short tee. Therefore, the golf club has to go up and down. And the combination of those two things, the sequence of those things, is what's creating what you're saying in terms of torque and or speed. And so I like to look at the idea of the body's turning motion is to provide the room so that the arms can swing the golf club up and down with speed. And so we create the beginning of the backswing by the torso and the body rotating away from the target, and that gives us a place for the club to swing inward and then up and over our shoulders. And as we have that up there, there's room for the club to start down, but I have to get room on the through swing, as John talked about, swinging through the ball. And so as the arms are dropping down, the lower body is beginning its unwinding, if you will, or rotating through towards the target. And then the arms and the torso are following that to the finish. So the body turns in the backswing, given a place for the arms to swing inward and up and over the shoulders. As we start down, the hips begin to make room for the club to go downward and through impact so that we can continue that rotation through to a balanced finish. So the torquing is the body rotating in the backswing, the lower half beginning the downswing as the upper half and arms follow that. The arms create our speed. The body creates the foundation and support to create the speed with the arms.
Well said. Jim, you, again, really have touched on a lot of the points that I wanted you to, and, you know, as did John. And I think it's important. And the reason why I wanted to have, obviously, for two reasons, obviously, was sort of a pre-introduction to this book that's going to be coming out. But I really wanted to touch on some areas that don't really get talked about a lot in golf, you know, certainly amongst ourselves as professionals. But just to give people understand, they hear sometimes terminology being used and don't really understand it. So I wanted to sort of give a little bit of an insight into that. You guys said, I picked the right night to do this. I have a couple of great professionals that can articulate really the points that I wanted to get across. All right, John, I'm going to come back to you. We're going to move into, and there's obviously a lot of, there's some obviously parts that I'm going to be skipping over, things like the stance and grip pressure and things like that, because we've talked about those, you know, many times on Coach's Corner. And I want to move into really the golf swing plane and understanding that swing plane. So just for the folks out there listening, the swing plane is the angle and path that the club travels on during the swing. It's often visualized as a flat surface that bends from the ball through the shoulders at address. And the goal is to keep the club head on this plane during the backswing and downswing to promote a square club face at impact. So my question to you, John, is talk about the impact of the swing plane on ball flight. And then I'm going to get you to maybe offer maybe a drill or two on helping improving swing plane.
It's a fantastic question, considering the clientele that I've had come through the past 5 to 6 days. Swing plane, if you want to get ultra technical, you can talk about one plane swing, which Jim's very familiar with through Mr. Hardy and Chris O'Connell, who's out there coaching Matt Kuchar at the moment and some others. Two-plane is what most people do. It's where you start the club back, and you get a little bit more vertical than most people would like to see you do, but on the way down, it's a little bit more vertical. The easiest way that I show people swing plane is from down the line with your video, and I draw a line from the ball through your hands and through your back. And that's the plane that you had described in the question that you posed. And the concept is, mm-hmm. can you keep your hands on that line? Because if you can keep your hands on that line, you can keep the club on or below that line. Anything below that line is going to store some energy. If the club's on the other side of the line, if your hands are on the other side of the line, your swing path is losing energy. When that club is coming underneath, you're swinging from inside to out. You're going to create some draws that way. Most people swing outside in or over the top. Trust me, I've seen over the top. You probably don't swing over the top. but your hands are above that line that I just got through describing. And that's truly what's over the top. The simplification of this is your hands hold the golf club. And when you're a beginner, when you're a double-digit handicap, I think the real key here is that your hands have one function and one function only, and that's to hold the club correctly. Because if it's held correctly for your anatomy, this swing plane is much easier to achieve. When the grip is not held properly, when the handle is not held properly in the best positions possible that your hands can be in, you sacrifice that swing plane. Forget about movement. If you just stood still, you'd have a hard time with that. So the club naturally has, the club head itself has to naturally follow the hand. And that's why I draw the line that way. There's been numerous ways I've drawn those lines on videos throughout the last 30-plus years. But what it boils down to, as you describe it, and the simplification of it is, draw the line from the ball through your hands, and you're trying to keep your hands on that line. A very, very good drill. And I'm actually, as we're doing this and I'm listening to Jim's answers and yours, I'm editing some video from earlier today where I put both my clients in what's called a shaft extension drill. Both of them are having trouble bringing the club back. They have some other issues. And basically what a shaft extension drill is, take a very skinny alignment stick and put it through the hole of your grip and have that stick extend outward underneath your front arm, the left arm for the right hand or the right arm for the left-hander. And the concept is, can you make just a chip shot swing and never, ever have that stick touch you? And what you're concentrating on there, what you're working on, I really should say, is swing plane where it matters, that last 12 inches approaching the ball, the first 12 inches through the ball. It's an excellent drill. It creates some synchronization between lower and upper body. It does keep the hands on plane quite a bit. And when the hands go off plane, high or low, it's noticeable. And the stick happens to hit you. That's how noticeable it is. Very, very simple drill. I call it ball striking 101. When you're off plane, when you can't get the path to be consistent and you can't get the club face square, this is a very simple drill to get started with. I recently did a school where a client called it, it's the ticket to bigger swings, and I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, it's a great answer, John. Thank you for that, and you articulated it very well. And what I like about your particular drill is you get instant feedback, and I think feedback is extremely important. I mean, it's not just, you know, where does the ball go? It's you're getting feedback by letting the body feel what's going on. And so I think any time that you can produce a feeling or something that will give the student that instant feedback of whether they're doing it correctly or incorrectly is valuable. So thank you for that. Jim, I know you mentioned the backswing in your earlier question, but I just want you to touch on this, and I'll explain it here in a moment. I want you to talk about a little bit again about the role of the backswing, what some common backswing mistakes are that you've seen, and if there's any drills for helping to improve a golfer and their backswing. So touch a little bit what we're talking about here in the backswing again real quick, some common mistakes that you're seeing, and maybe a drill or two to help improve someone's backswing. And Jim, I think you're muted.
There's really two, sorry about that. In the backswing, there's really two elements to the backswing, one of which is the club has to work to the inside. And the second piece is it has to work up and over the shoulders. And quite honestly, we'll say it this way, it's in and up. And as John talked about one plane versus two plane, one plane it's working upwards and getting in line with the shoulders. And then a two plane, it's working in just as the one plane did, but this time the arms are working up and above the shoulders. And so it's getting it set up into a position where we can deliver the club down on plane and from the inside. And so the sequence again has to be that the body is going to rotate so that the arms can come in. It's that body rotation that moves the arms and club inward. And then they work upwards independent of that body rotation. And what I see happen frequently is people hear the idea that they have to get the club to go in, and the in becomes an action of the arms moving the club in, and the body, in essence, is actually working upwards. They've got the ingredients kind of reversed or in the wrong parts doing the work. And so the correction to that is to be certain that the torso or the body is beginning the rotation, and from that, the arms and club work upwards. In reverse, though, in the downswing, once we've got it in the right location, and the right location is up and pointed relatively towards the target, meaning the shaft of the club is reasonably pointed at the target. From there, the arms are going to be working down as the lower body starts to rotate through. So the backswing is getting us set up for the downswing. And so it has to be in a location and in the right sequence so that it can return in the right sequence. A great way to feel this is to take the golf club and place the end of the club, the handle end of the golf club, in your belly button, and then extend your arms and take your normal golf grip on the shaft of the club. Now your hands will be down past the end of the grip and on the shaft. And so they're extended, and so now you have kind of a triangle with the shaft of the club in between that and pushed against your belly, and you begin the body rotation in the backswing, rotating the torso until the shaft of the club is parallel to the target line. From that point, as the body continues its rotation, we allow the arms to take the club up and over the shoulders in the backswing, pointing the shaft somewhat towards the target. So again, the end of the club is in your belly. The arms are extended, normal golf grip. Body rotates until the shaft of the club, while still touching your belly, is parallel to the target line. Then the arms and the club go up and over the shoulders. This is a great way to create that sequence where the torso is beginning the backswing and not the arms, because you can feel it very quickly, just as in John's drill. In this drill, if the arms try to create the in before the body rotates, that club will actually come away from the body. So club in the belly, arms extended in normal golf grip, rotate till the shaft is parallel to the target line, then let the arms go up and over your shoulder.
Well said. And just very quickly, I just want to throw in there, and then I'll move on to John again. Some of the common backswing mistakes that we see with a lot of players, and your drill really helps to alleviate this by when done correctly, of course, is we see a lot of over-rotating as an example, which ultimately can lead to loss of control. We often see players swaying or lifting off the ball, and that, of course, causes inconsistency and inconsistent ball striking. And another mistake is not turning the shoulders and or hips, again, resulting in a lack of power. So doing these drills, as we're mentioning, is going to help focus on some of those things and improving your backswing. So I like that. It's a very simple drill. I've used it many, many times for myself, at the beginning of the year to kind of get myself back to make sure that I'm turning everything correctly. So I'm a firm believer. I think sometimes the simpler, the better when it comes to a drill. And as John pointed out in his, I think, you know, when you get that sort of instant feedback as to whether things are working properly or not, and as in your drill, Jim, I think that's just a win-win for all players. You touched on the downswing a little bit, so I'm going to skip by. Obviously, the points that I'm bringing are sort of retrospective of what we were talking about earlier on in this chapter. And you touched on a little bit that. John, what I'm going to do is I'm going to need to touch on a little bit on impact, the importance of impact position, maybe some common mistakes that you've noticed when people are coming into that impact position, and maybe throw in a drill there to help improve.
So impact, you hear a lot of people call it the moment of truth. It is. It's the moment that all this energy that we stored up and released is released to the golf ball, and the face of the club dictates a good portion of that. And what I start people out on is relative to your target and relative to how the ball took off to your target, you can figure out whether your face is open, square, or closed, and whether you're a high handicapper or mid to high to low handicapper, I'm always starting out there when it comes to impact. You've got to know where the face is relative to your target, and then you've got to understand your face relative to your path. I'll get into that in a second. When that face is open and the ball's going right, it's easy to just sort of figure out, hey, I've got to get the club closed, and vice versa. If it's always going to the left, it's closing too soon. I've got to do something to delay that, to retard that a little bit. But then when it comes to curvature, the curvature is created by the path and that face angle relative to the path. Most golfers out there right-handed are fading it. When you're fading it, that club is open relative to the direction the path is heading in. Most of the time, outside in with an open face is going to create that fade. And the fix to it isn't necessarily trying to fix your swing. Can you get the face squared first? Can you get, if the swing is going to move outside the in or over the top, can we get the squared face happening first so some of the curvature is eliminated? As you're doing that, believe it or not, your brain, your body, it's starting to understand the cause and effect, the relative nature to the face, to the path. And believe it or not, you'll start not necessarily fixing your path, but minimizing possibly how much outside to in it goes. You've got to understand that before you can put a drill out there. I use what's called gate drills quite often to help people eliminate an outside-in swing path, particularly if driver putting an impact bag out in front of them close by so the club head doesn't hit the bag. But until they understand, hey, you're always going to hit a slice, even if you straighten out the path, if that face is open, that's critical. Until they can learn to square the face, impact is just going to be a glancing blow. The obvious mission to all this is putting the ball more into the middle of the sweet spot of the club and being able to paint the face of your driver with, say, foot spray or even your iron and locating where that ball hits the iron or the face of the driver can help you understand setup alterations. Do I need to move the ball forward, back, closer to it, further away from it? It's also going to tell you and confirm a lot of the other things, particularly if you're hitting a slice, you're probably hitting it off the toe somehow. It's probably high on the toe. And if you look at the bottom of your driver with the tee marks that are slanting across the toe, that is an absolute confirmation that your path is moving outside in, the face is open. Again, not to get it too complicated, if you're having trouble getting the ball to start online, whether it's starting online or curving offline, let's get the face fixed first. Let's have you understand how to fix it, get you into that impact position. Understand that impact is pressure placed upon the ball. It's actual pounds per square inch of pressure. And the further you can hit it, the more pounds per square inch you're putting into that golf ball. And there's ways of creating better impact. You can't get the better impact until you can square the golf club.
I like it. Well said, John. And just a one or two more quick things I want to mention. You know, some common mistakes often that we see as professionals is, and this one here particularly can lead to, certainly one of the reasons that can lead to loss of control and power, and that is flipping the wrists through impact. That's something that we see a lot. Hanging back on your trail foot. So for you right-handed golfers, that would be your right foot. That can cause some fat and or thin shots, depending on how you're clearing through. Also, another mistake is not having the hips open enough at impact, which can restrict the follow-through and obviously ultimately result in a loss of distance. So doing drills, working on these components are important for all level of players, particularly for our high handicappers. But understanding some of the common mistakes, and if you're experiencing one of these, you definitely want to connect with your local golf professional and get them to give you an assessment. We'll talk about that in a moment, and see which of these you're doing and see if they can get a good drill to get you back on track. Jim, we've talked about backswing, obviously downswing, impact. Now we're into the follow-through. What's the role of the follow-through and maybe some common mistakes if you want to do that? And is there a drill for helping to improve our follow-through? What are your thoughts here?
Yes, the follow-through is really an extension of what John was talking there of impact. To have the correct follow-through will enhance the ability to swing on plane and in the right direction. For example, you mentioned hanging back on their trail foot and not rotating through. And what that's done is it's left the lower body in the way of where the club needs to swing, which is back to the inside. Thus, if the body hasn't rotated through, the club needs to now extend off as a right-handed golfer away from them and to the right. So this would create a plane that is aligned to the right, a path swinging in to out, and it begins to change our angle of approach where the club is actually bottoming out prior to the ball and then lifting as it gets to the ball. Conversely, if that body has rotated through too soon, that creates what John was talking about of that golf swing that's over the top of the plane and or swinging to the left as a right-handed golfer. I like to say swinging towards themselves versus away from themselves. And so if the body has gone through prior to the arms going down, that club is now swinging off away from the target and back to the inside too soon. So the sequence needs to be correct there. As we get to impact, then the body is going to continue to rotate to the finish, giving an area for that club to swing back to the inside. A drill that you can do for that player who tends to hang back on their trail foot and doesn't turn the body through early enough would be to simply take, and as they're swinging downward towards impact, to take the trail foot and take a small step towards the target. We saw a wonderful player whose name is actually Gary Player, who played his career doing just this in his golf swing. Not just in rehearsal, but while hitting the golf ball. He let that right that trail foot, that right foot, take a step forward, giving his hips additional ability to rotate to the finish, giving a chance for that club to now swing back to the inside. On the flip side, that player who has the tendency to get the upper body to rotate through too quickly, this one we could take and have them stand where the ball is in line with the middle of their stance, and they take the right, their trail foot, or as a right-handed golfer, that right foot, pull it back off of the target line where the toe of the trail foot is in line with the heel of the lead foot, and then place it up on the ball of the foot. So they're kind of balancing on their toes of their trail foot, and then give it a swing. Very difficult for that upper body or the body in general to rotate through too soon, and it gets them to get the feeling of the arms coming down, and then the body will still rotate through, but they won't go through as quickly. So the follow-through is really initiated from the downswing into impact, and then it has to complete that golf swing to get us to a balanced finish, allowing a place for that club to work back to the inside in the through swing.
Again, another great point that you bring up, and I think, you know, this is putting all of these pieces together in the correct fashion, I think is crucial to becoming a better player. Too often we see one or maybe more components of the golf swing that are just not quite right. And we see a lot of overcompensating, either, you know, with a rushed back swing or, you know, a rushed follow through, what have you, in order to, you know, make up for, you know, earlier mistakes. And this brings me to the next point, John, that I want you to touch on, as we get closer to wrapping things up here shortly. And that is understanding tempo and rhythm. Talk about the impact tempo and rhythm has on the swing, and if you want to give a maybe a drill to help improve both of those areas.
Sure. Tempo and rhythm are two different things. Tempo is more of, I'm going to call it a time signature, if you're familiar with music, whether it's 4-4, 3-4, that sort of sets the tempo. The rhythm is how you interpret that tempo, how you put it to use, how you might hum something in that tempo. Is it going to go faster? Is it going to go slower within that time frame, within that time signature? Everybody has their own rhythm, whether you want to call it circadian rhythm, beats per minute, whatever it is. My personal example I give to everybody is when I played the best golf I've ever played, I had two songs that would hum through my head. One of them was made into a popular song in 1975 by the recently passed Eric Carmen, I'll Never Fall in Love Again, which is the third movement of Rachmaninoff's Second Symphony. And for whatever reason, that stuck in my head when I played some really good golf. The other one that stuck in my head was a theme song to Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. These two represented rhythm for me. I was able to swing and stay in rhythm with how I was feeling the song that day. It may have changed from a time stamp standpoint of view, a time signature standpoint of view, but it still felt in rhythm. What I see is the biggest mistake that most higher handicappers do, and for that part, probably some mid and high single digits, is you practice at one rhythm and play at another. And the most common thing, I think the two of you will agree, is the old rake and hitter is what we call them. You rake a ball over and hit it, rake a ball over and hit it, rake a ball over and hit it, sometimes not even seeing the full flight of the ball. And that's not the same rhythm in which you play. So one of the things I get people right away on working for is a rhythm that matches how they play. when you get out of the cart and you pull the club, what is your pre-shot routine? Let's get into that pre-shot routine, because that sets your rhythm. That sets how you're going to feel about the shot. When you start practicing that way, the people who claim they're great range rats and they can't bring it to the golf course, this is probably the number one reason why they can't. And when they figure out how to create rhythm in their practice by replicating the rhythm that they play by, it makes it easy to create a cycle. It's not a one-way street from the practice area to the golf course. It's a cycle. And the basis to that rhythm, the basis to that cycle is your pre-shot routine. There are other ways of creating rhythm and tempo, and there's some fantastic apps out there. I use a metronome, a very simple metronome that I can set the beats per minute to. There's tons of free ones to put on your a mobile device. There's a couple of other ones that you can pay for that are maybe based on a song or based on different sounds to create a rhythm within, say, a 3-to-1 or a 2-to-1 ratio. That's strictly up to you. It's a personal preference. But if you're not creating rhythm in your practice and you're not replicating the rhythm in which you play, then, yeah, you're going to be out of rhythm and you're going to feel like, oh, it's tempo. No, the tempo is set by the pace of play. The tempo is set by how fast you really want to practice. The rhythm is set by how you make your pre-shot routine work for you.
I love it. You know, again, something that I've seen many times out on the range with players is when they're taking their practice swing, it's very balanced, very fluid. And then when they step up to the ball, it looks entirely different. I know growing up, I was guilty of that. When my father was teaching me the game, he always said, you have a great practice swing, but he said, when you step up to the ball, he said, it's like a different person. So you're exactly right. You have to develop that tempo and rhythm, not just on the range, but you have to be able to take it to the golf course. And that's why we see so many folks struggling out in the golf course, is they're not establishing that tempo and rhythm on the range when they're just out there at a practice session. And if you can't do it there, dollars to donuts, you're not going to be able to do it out in the golf course either. Jim, we've only got a couple of minutes left, but I want to give you an opportunity. I mentioned this earlier. Just very quickly, talk about golf swing analysis, the benefits of having a swing analysis done by a professional. And obviously there's some good technology out there that can help do that. Maybe if you just want to quickly touch on that as well as we get ready to wrap up the Coach's Corner.
Well, the analysis of the golf swing has to start with where the ball's flying. We have to see where that ball's flying, because that tells us what's happening when the club is striking the back of the golf ball. And from that information, it gives us a place to look to see what is causing that club face to arrive at the ball incorrectly. And so golf swing analysis starts flight. Then that tells us something about impact. And impact tells us where to look for the fix, whether that's going to be something pre-swing in their setup, their grip, their alignment, their aim, their posture. Or is it going to be a backswing situation, or is it going to be a downswing situation, or is it an impact follow-through? And the ball is going to tell us those things to look at. So if you're taking lessons and a golf professional is giving you a lesson and it hasn't rooted in where the ball's flying, there's a good chance that they're teaching a picture of a golf swing, the cosmetics of a golf swing versus the functionality of it. So make sure that as you're taking lessons, it's working from the flight of the golf ball back to what's happening in the golf swing. And that can only be affected by something pre-swing, which is a large part of the effect, or something in swing.
Well said. What a great way to end our segment tonight. And that actually completed, there were a few other little nuggets in there that we didn't get to, the chapter 3 of a book that I've written, The Complete Guide to Golf, Strategies and Fundamentals. As I said, it's not officially out there yet, but it will be shortly, and I'll let the folks know here on the show and elsewhere when it comes available. There's a lot of good information in here. We just touched on a little bit of it, one of the chapters, and thank you guys for helping me to do that. As always, I give you guys a quick moment to let the folks know the best way they can reach out to both of you. John, you go first, and then Jim.
Sure. Thanks again, Ted. Always a pleasure. Appreciate the honor, all these years of getting on every second Thursday and sharing the wisdom and sharing the passion. Jim, looking forward to seeing you here maybe in a short couple of months. It's going to be a lot of fun to do what we're doing. I'll allow Ted to preview that. But beginning May 3rd, I'm at Macklemore Resort. Very happy to be going there. Schedule has some openings there. If you still want to see me in Orlando, I still have a couple of openings. Hope you do get in contact with me and visit me either at the Omni Champions Gate Resort in Orlando or at Macklemore Resort this summer. It's easy to find me, johnhughesgolf.com, at johnhughesgolf. You put an ampersand or a hashtag in front of me, and you're going to find me pretty readily either on the web or through social media.
John, thank you for that. Jim, go ahead.
Yes, Ted, thanks so much to have me on. And, John, I'm very much looking forward to teaching with you in a couple months. And I should see you in a couple weeks there in Orlando as well. You can reach me on my cell phone, 407-460-9420, or on email, jim@endicottgolf.com. And thanks again, Ted.
All right, guys, appreciate it. Thank you, as always, for bringing your best to the Coach's Corner panel, and I will talk to you guys shortly, and I will certainly let the listeners know in a little bit. A special opportunity coming up in June, which both of these guys are going to be at, and I'll tell you about that shortly. But thanks, guys, for joining me tonight. We'll see you next time here on Golf Talk Live.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ted.
All right, it's almost time for our special travel segment, sponsored by Golf Breaks by PGA Tour. We'll start that in a moment, but I want to introduce everyone to a new advertiser and sponsor of the show, Victory Insoles. Here's a quick promotion and a special offer to the Golf Talk Live listeners.
In the world of golf, every swing, every step, and every stance counts. But what if you could enhance your game and reduce pain while keeping your legs fresher? The answer? One simple change to your gear. Introducing Victory's Carbon Fiber Insoles, the revolutionary performance insoles designed specifically to help athletes reach their full potential. Using patented carbon fiber technology, VKs do more than support your feet. They lower the impact on your joints while improving your stability, letting you hit the links more often with less pain. Visit victory.com, that's VKTRY.com, and use code GT20 for 20% off today. This offer is exclusive for listeners of this podcast. Again, that's victory.com, and use code GT20 for 20% off. With Victory's 90-day money-back guarantee, your only risk is that your playing partner has these insoles, and you don't.
This golf travel segment is sponsored by Golf Breaks by PGA Tour. If you are tired of researching and planning your group's golf trips, let the travel experts at Golf Breaks by PGA Tour help. Get a customized golf trip with their hassle-free service and save money with their guaranteed best prices. Right now, Golf Breaks by PGA Tour is offering up to $200 off your next golf trip, exclusive to Golf Talk Live listeners. Simply quote Golf Tips 200 online or over the phone. Terms apply. Go to golfbreaks.com to start planning your next golf trip today.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. And thank you for joining me tonight on Golf Talk Live. And as mentioned in our intro, we're now going to be doing our special travel feature sponsored by Golf Breaks by PGA Tour. And my co-host is internationally published golf and travel writer and award-winning photographer Robert Kaufman. And tonight's special guest is Brian Alley, director of golf and recreation at Primeland Resort in Virginia. So I'm going to bring both of them on, and we're going to get into tonight's discussion. Robert and Brian, thank you for joining me tonight on Golf Talk Live.
Good evening. Thanks for having me.
Good. No, it's great.
good to be talking to you again.
Well, thank-
I know it's been about a year since I last saw you. Ted, go ahead and why don't you introduce Brian, and we'll get things going here.
Yeah, Brian, as I mentioned, is the Director of Golf and Recreation at Primland Resort, and where he has worked for more than a decade and began his career as a golf professional at the Alley Methodist College PGM School and earned his PGA membership in 2007. And now he's at, as I said, the Primland Resort. So, Brian, welcome to the show, as I said, and we're excited to have you talk a little bit about what you do and that. So just maybe go back a little bit before, and then I'm going to turn it over to Robert, because I know he's got some questions for you, is maybe just give us a brief introduction of how you got involved in golf.
Well, thanks for having me, and good evening. How I got involved in golf is kind of a random story. I was more of a baseball player growing up, but was at my uncle's house one day and had a whole set of clubs and thought I'd give it a try and made contact on the first strike, and here we are. So baseball went by the wayside, and I took up golf full steam ahead.
I think it's
so no more bats and balls.
Yeah, no more balls being hit at me. I thought I'd hit them myself. So,
yeah.
Right. I think that's a good switch. Well, thank you for sharing that. It's always interesting to hear people's backstory a little bit of how they got introduced to the game. Many of us obviously grew up with you know, maybe our father or another adult sort of introducing us to the game, and others were maybe more aggressively involved in junior programs and worked their way up from there. But always interesting to hear people's backstory. So I'm going to turn this segment over to my good friend and co-host, Robert Kaufman, who is a travel editor for Golf Tips Magazine, as well as many other publications, that he's a freelance journalist and photojournalist as well. And he founded the Northern California's first monthly golf publication, Golf Today. And you can find a lot of his work not only in Golf Tips Magazine, but other publications I mentioned, and can be viewed on his website at pitcherperfect.com. So, Robert, I'm going to turn it over to you, and I know you've got some questions for Brian.
I do. Thank you, Ted. That was quite the intro. So, Brian, as Ted mentioned, yeah, I do have a background in, as a photojournalist. So, you know, when I first realized I was coming out to Primland, you know, I looked on the website and bam, it just hit you right there in the face. I mean, where that property sits in the Blue Ridge Mountains is just so spectacular, what was carved out there. I had never been there before, so it's my first time experiencing it. So I'd like, if you could, just to kind of talk a little bit about how that area was found, how it was carved out, and a little bit about the owner's vision with Primland.
Okay. Yeah, it's such stunning topography, and the views are just second to none. So pretty proud of it. So I'm from this area. I don't really have ties to the land, but my grandparents, they both grew up at the foot of what we called the mountain. So a lot of stories growing up about going up on the mountain where now Primland sits today. But Mr. Prima, he was the visionary behind it all. He started looking for large tracts of land on the East Coast in the late 70s, and the biggest piece of this parcel was already put together, which is now 12,000 acres today.
That's quite a chunk.
It is. So it didn't start as golf, obviously. The golf course didn't open until 2006 and really didn't gain full steam ahead until the lodge was built in 2009. It kind of started as a timber operation and then more of a hunting and outdoorsman kind of paradise, and it shifted over to golf in 2006.
And now you've kind of blended that with so many other outdoor activities, adventures. I mean, there's really something there for everybody. You know, if you're doing
really
trips, family trips, I mean, you know, go ahead. Yeah, I just want you to talk about that, because everything you have out there is so engaging with the visitors. And there's, like I said, there's something for everybody, you know, whether or not you play golf.
There really is. Sorry to interrupt you there, but yes, it's, you know, from RTV into fly fishing, which has become huge since COVID. I think a lot of people went to the golf course and a lot of people bought a fly rod. So the RTVs are fun for me because it's a great way to see the property. Archery for kids, pond fishing for kids. There's, you know, different activities for all the ages. And then, of course, when you get on top of the mountain, we have the golf course, we have the spa, the fine dining, we have a little bit of disc golf, we have biking. Just if you can do it outside, we're kind of in it.
Yeah, so you're not going to find anyone just sitting around at the pool all day. They're going to be out there busy doing something. And if not, they need to find another resort property.
Well, you said it, not me. It's like if you find someone bored there, then they obviously don't love nature. That's for sure.
Right. So let's get into the golf a little bit. Obviously, that's our focal point here. So the golf course itself was designed by a guy that did most of his work over in the UK and Europe, Donald Steele. So how did he come about to be enlisted to design the golf course there at Primland? Because he's only done a few, as far as I understand, in the States.
Correct. I think there's five total. We're the only public. So interesting story. It was an advisor to Mr. Prima, the original owner. Prima's family still owns the property, but he was the visionary. One of his advisors was an avid golfer, member at St. Andrews, really good clubs here in the U.S., and I think he had a relationship with Donald. That's how it got started.
Okay. So they brought him in. And then, so how would you characterize the whole golf experience? What did he bring to the property?
Well, I think what he did ahead of all the other architects that interviewed and came and looked at the property was he went to the top of the mountain where most of them were kind of looking in the lowland area where it was flatter and probably easier to build a golf course. But he realized basically from a couple of guys that have been on property for over 40 years, one of which named Steve Nestor. I've got to make sure I get his name in there. He's the longest tenured employee at Primland. And he was like, hey, if you want to see what's up there, hop in, you know, a four-wheeler with me and we'll take it to the top. And I've heard Donald tell that story so many times. Once he got up there and started looking at it on the map, he realized that there was enough room for 18 great holes. And that's kind of how it all started. They were just riding through the woods. Some of it had already been timbered. Some of it was not. And a lot of it happened on a topo map, believe it or not.
Wow. So so I understand. I mean, the routing itself, the design of the holes kind of took place as they were just touring around through the mountaintop there?
I think it was more of realization that there was enough land and the views that were going to be opened up, which would allow just unreal scenery to go along with the golf course. It also allows, being here in the South, we're in the southwestern part of Virginia, but it still gets hot. But on top, where he built the golf course at 3,000 feet, we have cooler nights, which allows us to have bent grass from tee to green, which is a huge part of our success.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Where are most of your visitors coming from? I mean, go ahead.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah,
Mark.
I mean, you're such a remote location. I got a taste of that. So I'm just wondering, are most of your guests coming East Coast? Are you getting any from Southern states or West Coast?
I would still say predominantly East Coast. I would say our regional, not necessarily drive-in market, but regional market would kind of span from Charlotte, North Carolina, to D.C. as far west as Middle Tennessee. But we do get guests from all over the world.
Yeah, well, I'm sure by now the word's got out. So
it's starting to. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know what I love when I first showed up there was when I met you for the first time, and we had that little cocktail hour, if you will, right by the driving range, and then we went down and played the short course.
Yeah.
Right off the range. I mean, talk a little bit about that. I mean, that's quite unique to some properties because guys can just show up and go out and hit a ball. There's no flags. There were flags, but there's no set greens, and so just basically show up and hit the ball wherever you want. kind of a nice little warm-up.
That is the brainchild of our teaching pro, Dean Spainhour. You know, we kept talking about it in our meetings. We get so many people that are here that are so eager to play, and, you know, they'll just go putt for hours and have a cocktail or something. We wanted to give them something to do. But also, we really wanted to open it up. It's such an intimidating piece of property, the slope of the golf course. It's a very difficult golf course. I'm not going to pretend that it's not for the typical resort player. We wanted to get something that was good for beginners and kids and just a way to put a club in their hand and have some fun. And I think that really has increased people wanting to, you know, involve that in their activities. Like you said, there's so many things to do, but if you can introduce someone to the game, I think there's really nothing more special than that as a golf pro.
Exactly. Yeah. Keep your customers busy and happy.
That's right.
Yeah. So this is kind of at an appropriate time for this little question. You know, with the eclipse the other day, not too many properties are going to find an observatory right on property.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. It always is a lot of fun. They have I was just texting with the head of the observatory tonight. We've got a big function up there tonight, but it's so unique. I mean, it's, you know, and our golf shop's in the bottom of that silo. It's kind of home for us. And then up top at night, it opens up, and we have two, you know, state-of-the-art telescopes, and you can see light years away. I mean, how many places can you go that actually do that in a resort setting? So it's a little bit too technical for me. I'm just a golf pro. Not that smart when they start talking about light years away.
Don't sell yourself short.
It's a lot of fun.
It is. No, it was great. That was an awesome experience. Usually when you go to a resort property, you know, you go out at night, have dinner on property, and then what? Well, here you can go right up into the observatory and look at the heavens.
Yeah, it's extremely popular. Like you said, at most resorts, there's not a ton to do at night if you're not watching something on TV at the bar, but this is another opportunity to get kids involved. We've opened up a new hour-long or 30-minute program each night to allow kids before bedtime, just trying to, you know, give them something to do and also learn a little bit and get them interested in astronomy. So it's worked out well.
Yeah. Cool. And what about your lodging out there? You've got beautiful rooms, but you've also got some kind of off-site cabins that people can stay in. What are some of the lodging options?
I definitely take pride in that because it allows us to have all the different types of customers that do the different activities, whether it be hunting or golf or sporting clays. So we have 26 suites in our lodge. Again, it was opened in 2009. And then we have 6 fairway cottage units, which is about 200 yards from the golf shop, maybe 300. I don't think I can hit it quite that far, so I'm going to say 350. And then we have 16 pinnacle cottages, which are to the right of number 1 tee. So those are our luxury accommodations. And then we have mountain homes as well, and they vary in size. So you can get different types of families and golf groups or hunting groups, or, you know, they fit a multitude of purposes.
Right. So this is all the accommodations are for rent. There's nothing residential on the golf course?
Not yet.
No home?
Okay. I'm happy
coming?
To say that I do think that is part of the vision. It's coming. To be continued. How about that?
Fair enough.
Yep. So, I can't wait for that to happen. It's really going to turn our golf program around as well. It's really going to be an uptick for us, and I'm really excited. I think later this year there'll be some announcements made.
Good. Well, speaking of announcements, I just learned that you're going to be hosting your first Highland Golf and Wine Classic.
Yeah.
What's that all about?
It's going to be fun. You know, the way our property's set up now, we get a lot of couples. I think this is mostly going to be a couples event. It doesn't have to be. I mean, any two people can come and play in the event, but right now the sign-ups are mostly couples so far. It's going to be really high-end. There's going to be gifting involved. There's going to be really extravagant dinners. We've got really great partners, whether it be Birdie for ladies, merchandise. We have Stitch for men. We have a couple different wineries that are involved, and we have a celebrity chef as well. So really looking forward to the first annual. I think it's going to be a huge hit. So for all those listening, that if that sounds interesting to you, please check it out.
Just go to the Primline website. Is it,
yeah,
all the information is on there?
Readily available on the website, and we're happy to answer any questions. It's going to be a very fun weekend. It's the weekend, right, a Memorial Day weekend. So the golf portion is on the Saturday and Sunday before Memorial
Day. Perfect. Coming right up. So
coming right
up. You should be hitting your stride here pretty soon with the weather, right? Springtime and
yes. I would say if you ask me when the golf course is in its best condition, it would be from May through October. We do have some shoulder seasons in April and November, but we're really coming into our own. The golf course is growing in. We had some nice rain the last couple of days. It's only going to help for future growth, so we're getting there.
Right, right. Okay. Well, listen, the last thing I want to ask you about, and again, I found so many unique things out at the property, but this had to top it all. Pig candy.
Did you say pig candy?
Pig candy.
I remember that about you, Robert. We enjoyed the pig candy.
I have never heard of it, tasted it, knew nothing about it. But yeah, tell our listeners a little bit about what pig candy is.
It's kind of our staple. When you go to the pub, you go in and it's a great starter. It's bacon. It starts out as bacon, and then it has maple sugar. I can't give you the full recipe, but it also has a little bit of cayenne pepper, and it's irresistible to anyone who likes bacon. Let's just put it like that.
Right.
I've got some great stories about that. I've had one of my favorite ones was 4 or 5 years ago. I was standing in the golf shop, just answered the phone, and some guy calls, and he's like, I'm on hole 13, and I want to get 4 orders of pig candy. And I was like, okay, I'll be right out with it. He's like, no, I'm in Myrtle Beach. I just want you to FedEx me 4 orders of pig candy overnight. So obviously we had some Primline guys that had been with us recently, and they were getting together in Myrtle Beach, and we got it on the next truck out.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't realize that. I'll have to put in my order.
You're a little bit further away. I don't know if I can overnight it to you.
Okay, good. Well, Brian, hey, this has been great to catch up again and, you know, spread the word about Primline. Again, it's an amazing property up there in the Blue Ridge Mountains. And, you know, I, for one, would encourage anyone to go visit and spend a few days and take advantage of everything that you have to offer there.
Well, thank you very much. I hope you do come visit us again. We had great fun out on the course and enjoying those nice meals that we had. And hopefully you can find your way back as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks again, Brian. You have a great season.
Hey, thank you all for having me.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Brian. Thanks. And just to reiterate, and if you want to quickly maybe just give the website, if people want to get more information, what's the website that they can go to?
Yeah, Primline.com. We'll shoot you right there. A Burr's Resorts collection. We're a part of their collection. But if you just type in Primline, it'll pop right up. And our webpage is fully updated, all the events that we have for the season, whether it be golf or any other outdoor activity or special on lodging. So please check us out. And like I said, the Golf and Wine Classic is the next one up, and we got a few spots left. So anyone interested in that, it's going to be a really, really fun event.
Well, it sounds great. Again, thanks. Yeah, I want to try some of that. I think I might give you get Robert to give you my address, and you can ship some of the pig candy out to me. I think I'd like to try that.
To.
It sounds good.
I'm
waiting for my invite up to Primline, too, by the way. I would love to come up and visit you in the Blue Ridge Mountains. So we'll set that up at a later
time. As well. This is your invite, so don't say you weren't invited. Come on and see us.
All right. I will definitely do that. Well, Brian, again, thank you very much. Brian Alley, the Director of Golf and Recreation at Primline Resort. Again, you can go to Primline.com or bearsresorts.com. Will come up as well and get all of the information there and some great events coming up and just a great time. Lots of things to do there, and they're getting ready to hit their stride in the golf season. So Thank you very much for joining us on our special travel segment, and we look forward to seeing you in the near future.
Thank you for having
me. Thanks,
Brian. Happy Masters Week, everybody.
Yes,
that
sir.
That sounds good. I like that.
It's a holiday for us golfers.
Yeah, one of the few that we get. All right, Brian. Thank you very much. Have a great evening.
Thanks, Brian.
All right, Robert. I'm gonna. While I'm waiting for my next guest, we got a minute or two. What I want to do is just very quickly, because I know you're heading out. Tell us a little bit where you're headed to.
Well, I'm taking off this weekend to Vietnam, long ways overseas from San Francisco, which is where I'm based. So I'm looking forward to that. Going to play some golf with a new tour operator that specializes in Asia over there, and we'll have him on the air after we get back. So a lot more to come on that trip, but it's going to be quite the adventure playing some golf over there along the coast and enjoying all the foods and culture that Vietnam has to offer. So I'm looking forward to it.
Well, we're looking forward to hearing a little bit about it when you get back. And so on the next travel segment, I'll be hosting it myself, and I'll have a very special guest to join me while Robert's over having a good time golfing and having some great food and just doing some traveling. So be safe, my friend. I know we'll talk when you get back, but have a good time over there. And thank you, as always, for coming on and helping to co-host the Golf Breaks by PGA Tour travel segment. Have a safe one, Robert.
All right. Thank you, Ted. My pleasure. Talk soon.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, we're going to take a really quick break, and I'm going to introduce tonight's special guest, Clay Simpson, the Logistics Operation Manager at Sky Golf. We'll be right back.
The following ad is sponsored by Golf Tips Magazine.
Are you tired of being short off the tee? And what about those 3 putts? Forget about it. It's time you got serious about your game. Golf Tips, the most in-depth magazine in the industry. For over 30 years, Golf Tips has delivered expert content such as the latest golf instruction from America's top pros, simple to follow practice and gain improvement drills, fitness and mental game tips, equipment, training aids, accessory and apparel reviews, golf destinations and travel tips for every budget, and so much more. Don't miss a single issue. Go to golftipsmag.com and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. Excuse me. Excited, actually thrilled to have my next guest join me. His name is Clay Simpson, and he is the Logistics and Operations Manager at Skyhawk Technologies, the parent company of Sky Golf, and he's my special featured guest tonight. He's got over 16 years of experience at Sky Golf and a passion for golf. Clay's expertise shines through in every product demo and on-course showcase he leads. Sky Golf is the maker of Sky Caddy, the most trusted rangefinder in golf. It's a private company that specializes in innovative positioning systems and technology designed to help golfers play better and have more fun. We'll give you a little bit more information as we go, but please welcome my very special guest this evening, Clay Simpson. Clay, welcome to Golf Talk Live.
Hey, Ted. How are you this evening?
I'm doing well. How are you? I haven't seen you since the PGA in January.
That's correct. Yeah, that's the last time we got to chat a little bit.
We did, and I've got some bad news. I was looking at the video. I visited, obviously, the Sky Golf, Sky Caddy booth in the PGA, and I had a little remote camera that I was taking some footage with, and I got looking at it here recently, and I was going to send you a clip. And unfortunately, I must have had it turned off for most of it by mistake. So all of that nice demo that you did, I did not get it captured. So I apologize. I'm going to have to make sure I get you, wrangle you again this year or for next year and get you to do that all over again. Because I know you did a lot of work. And so I apologize for my nimble finger for pushing the off switch. So that's my apologies for that.
Don't worry.
Well, at least you got practice in. You got practice in.
Correct. I got practice in. Absolutely correct.
So let me ask you the first question is how did you first get introduced to golf? I always like to, especially with new guests, I always like to, get a sort of an insight as to how they got introduced to the game. So tell us just a little bit about your background.
I got introduced to golf by my dad. he used to take me when I was a kid. He used to have a pull cart, and he had built a little swing, a little seat under his pull cart. And he would pull me around the golf course, and then, you know, he'd let me put on the greens and stuff like that. But my dad and his two brothers were golfers, and they introduced the game to me and my cousins, truthfully. So that's kind of how I got in the game. And then I was in the military for 20 years, retired in the military, so I played a lot of golf in the military too. So, you know, it's just one of the things I kind of grew up with, and one of the games that I absolutely fell in love with. Then it made it to where I actually got to go to work in the golf industry, and that made it even better. So, you know, it's a couple of passions that melded together to give me a second career, truthfully. So.
Well, that's fantastic. And first, let me just say thank you on behalf of not only myself, but all of our listeners. Thank you for your service in the military. That's quite a feather in your cap, and we don't say that as much as we should. So I want to say it to you directly. Again, thank you for your service in the military. So there was obviously a point that you decided, okay, I love the game, I enjoy the game, and I want to play some role in golf. So how did you get started? You just obviously didn't just jump into Sky Golf working for them. I imagine you did some things as a precursor. So talk a little bit about that. How did you get to where you are now?
That's really kind of a funny story. I was actually working as a government contractor at Eglin Air Force Base in Fort Walton. And there was a... there was a Friday that they had a demo day at, I believe it was at the Fort Walton Beach Country Club, if memory serves me correctly. And we went down there during lunch, and we hit some different clubs and things like that. And we were like, you know, how cool would it be to be a demo person in the golf industry and, you know, go around and talk to people about things and stuff like that. And I was in the process of getting married, and, I knew I needed to find a job to where that I would be able to be moved to Mississippi to be with my wife who lived there. So I actually Googled golf jobs in Mississippi, and Sky Caddy came up, and I sent a resume, and I guess within about 48 hours I had a response, and a couple weeks later I was hired. So that's exactly how it went. It's a really cool, funny story.
Wow.
So,
very good. And I'm in. I actually live in Panama City Beach. So your trip to Eglin was literally a hop, skip, and a jump down the street from where I live. Know the area quite well. So you weren't too far away from
there
for work.
I was actually stationed at Tyndall. I was stationed at Tyndall Air Force Base for 12 years of my career. So. Two different tours there at Tyndall. So I know the area very well.
And obviously you're familiar with the beaches along the Emerald Coast, especially Panama City Beach and through to Destin and all that in Fort Walton, all those good areas. So I'm sure you spent some of your time there. And I actually heard recently, and I haven't, don't quote me on this, but obviously Tyndall had a golf course. And I believe I had heard a rumor, not confirmed, I think they closed it. I don't know if you know that or not, but I think they closed it.
That is correct. The golf course out there was called Pelican Point. It was a fabulous golf course. Absolutely. I enjoyed playing that golf course every time I had a chance to play it. It was one of Bay County's hidden treasures, that golf course was.
Yeah, I used to get out in the bay and on a boat and would pass by, and you can see, I'm not sure which hole it was, but you could see one or two of the holes from the bay there. And I never got a chance to play it, and unfortunately, obviously, I never will, but now. But I'd heard that was closed, and a lot of folks that I talked to at the time said the same thing as you did, that they really enjoyed playing there. It was a great, great place in Bay County to get on and get some golf balls. So let's talk about some of the technologies behind Sky Golf. I know, as I said, and I apologize for the lack of video.
Sure, no.
But you talked about a lot of stuff down the show. Maybe just give us a little bit of the background with the technology, because that's quite interesting in itself. And obviously a lot of people that are familiar with Sky Golf and Sky Caddy and all of the different things that you offer. But just give us a little idea, a little bit about the technology.
Okay. First, let's talk about what Sky Caddy does that no other golf GPS product does. Is we send mappers out to actually map a golf course with survey-grade GPS equipment from the golfer's perspective. And what do I mean by that is they're actually walking the same grounds, looking at the same terrain that the golfer's going to look at. So you get a golfer's eye from it. You can't get that from a satellite picture whatsoever. You can't pick out the best place to land a tee shot. Sometimes you can't see all the hazards that are out there from a satellite because they may be, you know, obscured by clouds, or they may be covered up by some trees or something like that. So you can't see all that great detail out there. So we're out there, we're mapping a golf course with this equipment. When we map a point, we're within meters, within a sub-meter of that point when we map it. So our devices with the maps alone are very, very accurate. Then if you take our GPS engines and GPS antennas that we put in our devices. These are not commercial grade. These are professional grade GPS engines and GPS antennas for their accuracy. So SkyCaddy's accuracy is 95% of the time within 1 to 3 yards. The other 5% of the time we're within 5 yards. So when you see one of our products and you see a yardage come up on that device, you know that you're within 1 to 3 yards of where you're going to get it. I wish I could hit a golf ball to within 1 to 3 yards of where I was wanting to. I probably wouldn't be talking to you on this show right now. I'd be playing right in Augusta this week.
Right. I was just, but yeah, I'd be there with you. I agree.
But
so
our new Pro 5X tour book has all that wrapped into one. It's a full color, high definition, 5.5-inch screen. And actually we're calling it a electronic yardage book is what we're actually calling it, because of the detail, the accuracy, and of all the different measurements you can get just by simply looking at the screen.
Wow, it just blows me away. You know, when I was down at the show, and obviously I stopped by your booth and just was blown away by the technology. And it just seems every year it's like, you know, they're increasing something else. And it's just, I don't know how you guys keep up with it yourselves. I mean, those that you that work for your organization, because it's changing. I mean, by the time something comes out, there's probably, you know, many more versions of that same thing. What I wanted to ask you, just to go back real quick for a second, and then I'll let you talk a little bit more about some of the products. When they're mapping, when you're mapping, your guys are going out into the field and they're mapping a golf course, typically how long does it take for them to map a whole golf course?
It depends on they're doing a full course map. Are we going out because the golf course has sent us an email or made a phone call in saying, hey, we've moved a couple tee boxes. We've added some bunkers. We've taken some bunkers away. You know, moved some greens, something like that. If it's a full blown on measurement of a golf course, you're looking at 6 to 8 hours. If you're going out for out for a remat, 2 to 4 hours, based on how many things have changed.
Right. That's actually really impressive, because I would have thought it would be longer than that. I mean, I know you can walk a golf course in a few hours, but to, so when you're and again, I don't know whether you yourself have been involved in that aspect or if there are other, you know, folks at Sky Golf that do that. But so when they're walking from tee to green, Are they basically just walking from tee to green and then the mapping sort of branches out to cover the whole hole? How does the system, like, how do they keep it within the confines of each hole?
Well, when we map a course, we actually do it hole by hole. So when I start on hole one, per se, I'll go to hole one and I'll mark the very far back of the farthest tee box. So the back of the, we'll say the black tee, right? I will map the back of that tee box and then I will walk that tee box area. And I can label it as I'm mapping it on the little handheld device we have, right? And then I do that for all the tee boxes. And then from there, I can walk out to the first hazard or the first landing spot that I want to mark, and I can mark that. If it's a bunker, I can say, okay, this is the number one left-hand bunker, and I can walk the perimeter of that bunker, right? And then I go to the next point. If there's a creek or a pond, I'll walk up to the end of the creek or the beginning of the creek and say, you know, creek. And I'll mark a point. And then when I get to the other side of the creek, I'll say, creek clear. This is where you can clear the creek and hit a point there. So
it
doesn't take as long. The great thing is you can use a golf cart to get you from hole to hole. So that does save a little bit of time. And, you know, it's a fun way. You get out there in the mornings and you're mapping the golf course while they're, you know, cutting greens and mowing fairways. You know, you're out there on the golf course at that point trying to beat the first golfers off the tee boxes. So.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's something that there's obviously a skill level to it as well for the people that are doing that. It's just always interested. I've never obviously seen it done. I have heard about it, not really, you know, as familiar with the process, obviously, as you guys are, but it was just always interesting to see how it was done. I had a general idea, but it's kind of interesting. I think people kind of getting a little bit of a look behind the scenes as to what actually goes on when they're using your product, how that information is gathered and inputted into the system. As I mentioned, you guys have a lot of products. You've got, as you mentioned, the SkyCaddy Pro 5X. You got the SX 400. And then you've got some watches as well. Talk about that. I know you've got some incredible products there. Basically, a watch version now that gives you the same information, essentially, as what you're getting into the handheld. Correct?
Correct. Correct. For the people who want a wearable device, we have the LX5 and the LX5C. It's a 1.5-inch LCD screen that fits on your wrist. It has all the same details in it that your Pro 5X or SX400 will have in it. It has a full hole. Fuel hole view on it, which is you have a graphic view of the hole and you can see where all the different targets are out there, different hazards and things. It has a movable cursor on there where you can get yardage from where you're standing on the tee box to a certain point, and then how far you have in to the certain part of the green. Normally the center of the green is where it defaults to. So that's how the hole view works. It has IntelliPath on it to where if you're picking a point in the fairway, it shows you a little dashed line that shows you what the run out is to the fairway. If you happen to be playing a golf course that is with very dry ground, well, to where they haven't had any rain or anything, you'll know how far it is to that run out, to where you run out of the end of the fairway to the rough. It has our IntelliGreen, and I'll talk about our IntelliGreen here in just 1 second. But it has our IntelliGreen and our IntelliGreen Pro on that watch also. So it's a lot of information packed into a 1.5-inch screen. It comes preloaded with a little over 35,000 golf courses worldwide in it.
Wow.
So really a neat deal if you're a person who wears a watch while you play golf. It's a great tool to have with you.
And you know, technology has gotten to a point now where it's almost, as a player, you can almost not play without it, because it gives you so much valuable information. I mean, when first, you know, a lot of these products first came on the market, you know, obviously the technology wasn't where it is today, and it was interesting, but it wasn't as accessible and as easily to, you know, easy to use now. But the advancements that you guys have put together have gotten now where it's, you know, basically a touch or a, you know, a moving of something on the screen very simply, and getting all of the important and pertinent information to make an informed decision. That's really what it's all about. It's not just a matter of just cool graphics and things like that. That comes part and parcel, but it's really about giving you the information you need to make an informed decision on your next shot, and an added bonus. You also have launch monitors as well. Talk a little bit about those.
We're no longer in the launch monitor business. We sold our launch monitor business out about 18 months ago. So we're not in the launch monitor business anymore.
Gotcha. All right. Well, remove that one. Then I was on the website a little bit earlier and I took that. So my apologies. Forget that. Just we'll chop that out of the show.
We do sell a launch monitor for another company, but it's not one of the products that we are actually producing any longer, if that makes sense.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
So we do sell the Sky Track.
That's what I was getting. Yeah, that's what I was talking about. All right, talk about, you've got some mobile apps as well, the Sky Caddy mobile app, of course, and then you've got Sky Golf 360 app. Talk about Sky Golf 360.
Okay, Sky Golf 360 is our website to where you can build your own online profile. This comes, of course, when you register your device with us. We'll have a Sky Golf 360 account, which when you're keeping score on your device, because all our devices allow you to keep score and keep some pretty cool different stats during your game, like did I hit the fairway? Did I miss the fairway left? Did I miss the fairway right? Or did I not hit the fairway at all? How many putts did you have on a particular hole? And of course, your score. So all that is great information. It all gets downloaded into your profile, and it'll tell you your greens and regulation, your accuracy of fairways, what's your fairways percentage, what's your green and regulations percentage, your average putts on 18 holes, stuff like that. Only thing it doesn't do is it doesn't give you a legal handicap that you can use, but it will give you a trending type handicap, but it won't give you a handicap that you can actually take to another golf tournament and say, hey, this is my Sky Caddy handicap. They're going to say, sorry,
right,
you have a different handicap for that.
Right. Right. But it still gives you certain information that you can use. And obviously you can implement that with one of the many handicap platforms out there. So what I wanted to ask you is, going back to the products in general, are the products sort of ready out of the box, or do they require some sort of a subscription or membership, or can they just be used, are there other options? So what are the membership options, and how does that work?
Okay. Yeah, we have all of our devices, when you purchase them, have a membership in the box with them. So if you buy one of our handhelds, the Pro 5X or the SX400, there'll be a membership card in the device. Or if you buy a membership online, we can add all that stuff together and we can concierge the device for you. So it's already registered to you and everything. Once you open the box, you turn it on and you're ready to go. All your membership stuff is already on the device. So there is a yearly membership fee. We do have specials every once in a while, but we do run a special for our 3-year membership. But mainly we have three different memberships. We have what we call the Birdie membership, which is good for the state. So if you living in Florida had a Birdie membership and you wanted just to play in the state of Florida, you could buy the Birdie membership for $30 a year. If you wanted to play the entire United States, you can get it for $50 a year, and the entire world for $75 a year. So, you try to buy a yardage book. How much does a yardage book cost you? One single yardage book.
a lot. I got you. That's very good.
About, you,
go ahead, sorry.
Go ahead, sorry. We were talking earlier,
say,
you're talking about
very
how people in the... Yes, it is very affordable. It's the most expensive membership we have is less than the cost of less than 24 golf balls, if you truly think about it.
You know, and really what you're getting for it and the access to, as I said, the technology that is available now is valuable. I mean, when most players now, especially if you want, you know, if you're someone that plays, you know, a couple times a year, this may not be something, but for you guys out there that want to have, you know, the ability to get out there and compete and play, you know, regular golf with your foursome, or maybe you belong to a club and you want to get out there, and this is great technology to have. And something else I want to get you to touch on, we talked about this, obviously it was not available at the time, and I'm just wanted to kind of get an update, and that's the GameTrax 360 that was coming available, I believe, in April. Tell us a little bit about that. That was kind of exciting as well. That's something new for you guys.
The SkyGolf Super Tags. SkyGolf Super Tags are a I can't really say it's a game tracking tag because it's so much more than just a game tracking tag. But the Super Tags not only allows the golfer to capture the location the club is used and the distance of each shot during a round, but it also will capture a virtual 3D replication of his swing and all putts that you can see data such as club head speed, shaft angles that address impact, how far was my backswing? Did I go past parallel? How open was my face at not only address, halfway back, at the top, halfway down, and at impact? It measures 18 different data points in your full swing 5 different times. Now, you can turn some of those data points off if you don't want, or you can leave them all on. And in putting, it gives you 15 different data strokes in your putting. So that's a lot of information for people, and I know there's a lot of golf data nerds out there that love this information, and
right,
we can give it to you. So all this information comes up, again, like you said earlier, in your SkyGolf 360 account. It'll break down the entire round you have. It'll show you a whole view with all the different clubs you used on that hole. It will give you information of how many shots gained or shots lost you had on this hole based on how you played the hole. You can go look at your three-dimensional swing in that hole and see where something might have been out of whack, which is what cost you either some distance or some accuracy on that hole with that particular shot. One of the things about it that I actually love is if I say I'm taking a lesson with my pro and he tells me that's one of the best swings I've ever seen you make, I can save that swing as one of my favorite swings. And then if I have a bad swing, I can overlay the two on top of each other and I can see where my bad swing was out of parameters versus my good swing. So that gives me instant feedback to be able to know how to correct it going forward.
That's really
deep data that can be used. Now, the Super Tag will be working with our newer generation handheld devices and watches. So the LX5, the SX400, the Pro 5X, and so forth. These tags will work with that device, or they will work if you have an Apple, an iPhone, or an Android device. You can download the app in either Google Play or the iPhone store, Apple store. So,
wow, that's great.
We're looking forward
to
that.
Let me ask
you. We're still working a few kinks out. We're still doing some testing, trying to knock the last few kinks out before we actually release it. So keep watching our website, and going to be coming out soon.
And I just wanted to ask you a question. You know, you were mentioning about, you know, if you're working with a swing coach or you know, a teaching professional with different information. So the statistics that are being gathered through your account, meaning you're, you know, if you're a player or what have you, that can that be easily shared with a coach or instructor? Can you send that data to them? Okay. So how does that, do they connect somehow through that? Okay. Maybe just explain it, because I know
actually,
that's going to be a question that people ask. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think you can. You're going to be able to email that data to your instructor or share that with them right through the app. So it's going to be a very easy process to be done. It would be much easier to show than it would be to try to explain. So
sure.
Watch for our
right.
Once the release, watch for our YouTube channel on YouTube. On Sky Caddy's YouTube channel, and I guarantee you there's going to be some really cool videos out there to show you how to share this information with other people. So,
yeah, because I know that's going to be a big thing, you know, with a lot of coaches and that, working with players, you know, at various areas as people travel more and get out and play some golf, you know, they want to be able to get that information to, you know, their instructor or swing coach and, you know, as I said, with technology now, you're able to do that much easier. So that's a great, powerful feature to have, especially, you know, from somebody like myself that teaches players. You know, having that information is valuable to me as much as it is to the either the player themselves, because it gives me a better insight
Absolutely.
Into what their game is. Really, definitely a powerful tool. Talk a little bit about. I see that you guys have partnered with Chris Trott as a product consultant and content creator. Tell us a little bit about that. That seems like an exciting partnership.
Yeah, Chris Trott is one of the coolest guys I think I've met. I got to spend a lot of time with him at the PGA Show. He did several demonstrations at the PGA Show for us. Actually, he gave some people some lessons that were actually in the booth trying out the tags, and he would show them some things, and he would do a little correction with them, and then they could see it immediately what he was showing them. Chris was a club builder for TaylorMade and a pretty good golfer himself. So, but yeah, we. It was kind of one of those friends of a friend's kind of thing that happened with Trotty. And he came in, we showed him what we're doing. He absolutely fell in love with the concept and says, I've got to be a part of this, especially with the super tags. And he fell right on board. So he and I are going to get to spend a week together here coming up in May when we go to the Senior PGA Championships up in Michigan. And the reason that we'll be up there is because roughly about 50% of the Legends Tour in the EU, which is Champions Tour here, are actually using our SX550 or Pro 5X on tour with their caddy. They've had amazing results with all of that. We are actually the official distance measuring device for the Legends Tour over there. I got to spend some time last year with the guys when they were over in Frisco, Texas at Field Ranch, where the new PGA, home of the PGA is. And it was one of the funnest 3 or 4 days I've had being out there talking to these guys, asking them, you know, what do you think of the device? How do you use the device? Different things like that. I will tell you, most of them like the fact that they can, because even the pros get offline, right?
Right.
It's not just us, you know, weekend golfers that get offline, but even the pros get offline sometimes. And one of the guys that this was. One of my favorite quotes that he said, he goes, I get offline. He goes, it just happens. He goes, if you play golf long enough or hit enough golf balls, you're going to get offline every once in a while. See, what I love about the Sky Caddy is if I'm offline and I've got to pick a point to get back in play, he goes, my number one thing is I'm trying to keep high numbers off my scorecard. He goes, so if I'm offline, he goes, I can take the Sky Caddy, run that point out there and say, okay, if I can hit a golf ball to this point, which is, we'll say 175 yards, that leaves me 60 yards in. I'm very comfortable hitting a wedge 60 yards. He goes, and I can normally put it pretty close. He goes, so my biggest thing is I'm trying to keep big numbers off. He goes, that's how I do it. He goes, I take my medicine and I get myself back in play to try to score the best I can possibly do. He goes, hopefully the worst I can do is bogey, but the best I can do is par. And I was like, you know what? That's probably one of the best quotes I've heard. Because I'm not going to try to pull some crazy shot out, you know, under some trees, through some trees. Because I'm just going to take my medicine. I'm going to come back out to this point, and I'm going to go on the green, and one putt for par, two putt for bogey at worst.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's fantastic. You know, as I mentioned in the beginning, you know, the technology is continuing to change and grow. What do you see happening from you? And I know there's certain things you probably don't want to spill the beans on yet, but where do you see this technology going with Sky Golf as we move forward, as the years roll by? It's just going to continue to keep changing and growing, I'm sure. But what do you see happening? What do you see sort of as the next trend coming through?
I think the next trend is coming through in our Pro 5X and soon to be newer devices coming after that is this new high performance GPS engine, which doubles its previous standards of error correction technology. In other words, what that means is, when you're getting GPS data, every once in a while you do get some bad data in. So it's going to filter this bad data out, which is actually going to make us more accurate, truthfully, than it was. And we're going to be getting close to being as accurate as a laser at some point with this accuracy, as long as these new antennas and GPS engines continue to produce higher rates of accuracy. We're going to be there, you know. We're going to be there.
Yeah, it's just amazing.
I was telling you.
Go ahead, Clay.
Earlier, I was talking about the IntelliGreen, and I wanted to talk a little bit about the IntelliGreen on the Sky Caddy and actually how it works, since we're talking about lasers, right? Our IntelliGreen is a patent that Sky Golf owns. And what the IntelliGreen does is, based on my angle of approach coming into the green, that green will rotate and always give me my true front, middle, back numbers coming in, right? So even the pros don't shoot at pins. They shoot for places on the green.
Right.
Right? So
yep.
Having a number to the pin is great, but also having a number to the pin, say, 5 yards in front and to the left of it is great, because that's my true target, right? We'll say it's 5 yards in front and to the left of the pin. That's where I want to land the ball, right? I don't want to land the ball at the flag. So knowing that information, I can drag that cursor over. I can have, okay, I've got 125 to cover the front. All right. I've got 145 to the back, but where the pin is, I've got 130, we'll say 134, but the point I want to hit is 129.
Right.
Right. So you can see all that at one look on the Sky Caddy, and also know what do I have to the left of me and what do I have to the right of me to stay on the green numbers. So last time I checked, the laser gives me one.
Right.
Right. A Sky Caddy can give you at least five numbers going into a green at a minimum.
Yeah, and again, it's so important. Yeah, it's extremely important as a, you know, somebody that plays and also you know, for those teacher professionals out there to have access to as much data as you can get your hands on. And, you know, because again, you know, we want to be able to, as teacher professionals and swing coaches and things, we want to make sure that we can do our part. It's not just about making, you know, obviously, you know, getting solid impact positions and you know, follow throughs and all of that good stuff is important. But people need to know their distances. They need to understand course management, and having access to this information helps them be better in their course management. Not everybody is born like a Nicholas or a Tiger, where they just naturally have, you know, sort of a sharp mind and able to put that together. So we need a lot of help. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you guys have answered that very well. I mean, truthfully, if we're being honest, I mean, that's really what you're doing, is you're basically taking the information that, you know, a top level player looks at and uses that information. They're just doing it, you know, a fast process, obviously. But, you know, for average golfers out there that don't have access to, you know, the best swing coaches and things in the world like these guys do, and don't, you know, aren't practicing, we need to have as much help as possible. So really what you guys are doing at Sky Golf is sort of parsing that down into your technology and saying, hey, we can give you all the same stats that the pros are getting access to. And we've got it in a cool device here that you can take to the golf course with you. And that's really what it boils down to. And we're grateful for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And just,
go ahead.
No, please go ahead.
I was like, you know, the Sky Golf's mission is to help golfers play better with better information while respecting the traditions of the game, but also make golf fun and for people to play faster. So,
yep.
You know, we're giving everybody that information. You know, I was told a long time ago when I was first started playing golf, I had a friend of mine tell me, who was kind of helping me with the game, because he was a much better golfer than I was. And he says, Clay, there's one thing you got to remember. It's not the arrows, it's the Indian. So
right.
You can have all
that's
the
right.
best equipment in the world and have all the information in the world, but you're the one that's still got to produce that swing and that shot to pull it off. So
that's correct. Yeah. Well said. Some good advice for sure. All right. What's the website that we want to send people to get more information? And if they want to purchase some of the products that we were talking about tonight and or take out a membership if they need it, where can they go to get more information?
Skygolf.com.
Nice and simple. Just like I like it. Well, perfect.
Trying to make it as easy as possible.
Yeah, it doesn't get any better than that. All right. Well, listen, Clay, thank you very much for coming on tonight. I appreciate it. A lot of great information. And for those that maybe are, you know, still trying to, you know, improve their game, as we talked about, there's a lot of great technology out there, and you guys are a leader in that business. And we're happy to put in any way that we can to draw people to your attention. So go to skygolf.com is the website. All of the products that we talked about and more are on there. And a lot of the information is there available at, and I know Clay is eager to answer any questions that you may have. So I'm sure you can contact them through the website as well, and he'll be happy to help any way that he can. But Clay, thank you very much for coming on tonight. It's been a pleasure, and it was great speaking with you again. And I look forward to seeing you in person again.
Yeah. Thanks again for having me. I appreciate it. And I guarantee if somebody leaves a comment or something on the website or something, that somebody will be able to get a hold of me. I can guarantee it. So.
Perfect. Clay, thank you again for being my special guest tonight in Golf Talk Live. You're welcome to come back anytime. And I promise next time when I operate the camera, I'll make sure that my finger stays off the button. But thank you, my friend. You have a good one.
Nope.
And we'll talk to you real soon.
All right, Ted. Thank you. Have a good night.
Yeah, you too. Enjoy the Masters.
Will do. Thank you.
All right. That was my special guest, Clay Simpson, logistics and operations manager at Skyhawk, which is the parent company for Sky Golf and Sky Caddy. Very quickly, I want to, as literally only have a few moments left, As John had alluded to earlier on the Coach's Corner panel, John and Jim are going to be joining me and others up at Macklemore Resort June 7th to 9th for another Golf Tips Golf School. We already got the word out there, so we've already got a few signed up for it. If you're interested in coming and joining us and really wanting to ramp up your game and have a great time at a beautiful resort, the Macklemore Resort is up in the foothills of Georgia, just a couple of hours north of Atlanta and about 45 minutes outside of Chattanooga, Tennessee. So it's a great location. It's about 2,000 feet up in the air. It's got a great golf course and great food. And the new Hilton has opened up there, so there's some great lodging. If you're interested in participating and getting more information, you can reach out to me at editor@golftipsmag.com. That's editor@golftipsmag.com. Send me an email. I'll be glad to answer any questions that you may have about the upcoming golf school. The dates, again, are June 7th to 9th, and it's a three-day golf school. A lot of good stuff, a lot of great instruction. John Hughes and Jim Endicott, who are on here tonight, and others are going to be there to help get your game back on track and help fine-tune and get those numbers and scores down. So if you want to join us, we're love to have you. June is going to be beautiful up in Macklemore. I've been there a number of times. It's a great resort, lots of fun up there, and they usually have a summer series concert, I believe, every weekend. They have some entertainment up there. I'll get more information on that for you. But if you want to reach out to me at editor@golftipsmag.com, just say that you're interested in getting more information about the golf school, and I'll happily send you a package, itinerary, and what the costs are going to be. But it's definitely a good time, definitely something that you don't want to miss. Again, the dates are June 7th to 9th. I hope you'll join us. Again, reach out to me at editor@golftipsmag.com. All right, special thanks again to John Hughes and Jim Endicott for joining me on the Coach's Corner panel. Also, special thanks to my good friend Robert Kaufman for helping host the travel segment, and our special guest there, Brian Alley, Director of Golf and Recreation at the Primland Resort in Virginia. And also, again, to tonight's special featured guest, Clay Simpson, from Sky Golf. I hope you enjoyed the show. And also a special thanks to Victory Insole, victorygear.com, for being a special advertiser and sponsor of the program as well. Welcome to the Golf Talk Live family. All right. On that note, I will see you next week right here on Golf Talk Live. God bless everybody and have a great weekend and enjoy the Masters.
Thanks for joining us. We hope you enjoyed this week's broadcast of Golf Talk Live. We'd like to thank this week's Coach's Corner panel, and a special thank you to tonight's guest. Remember to join Ted every Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. Central on Golf Talk Live. And be sure to follow Ted on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. If you're interested in being a guest on Golf Talk Live, send Ted an email at ted.golftalklive@gmail.com. This has been a production of the iGolf Sports Network.